I'm Kira.
I'm Sean.
I'm Evan.
I'm Aiden.
And this is Golf Radio. We hope you guys are having a pretty good day. Before we start our programming, I'd like to acknowledge that Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Hakomelem and Squamish speaking peoples. We got a cool show for you guys today. Very excited. We have a guest in the studio today. You might know him from, he has a show on here actually on Thursdays called The Environmentalist, I believe. Yes.
No.
Oh. What is it called?
You have two more strikes to guess. One strike, two more guesses remaining on the board.
All right. Well, I will.
It's called The Sprouts. It says so because on TuneIn, which is an app that a lot of people use to listen to CJSF or to radio in general, it says that and it has that program lined up. Not called that. It's called The Sprouts. I'm Aster.
Woo!
Hello.
Clap it up for Aster in the studio. We appreciate it. At mid-hour, we are going to be having an interview with Aster talking more about his passion for improv and possibly doing other things on air that I can't spoil right now, so you should stay tuned. Woo! But before we get into that, we have our little, not even hypotheticals, but just our conversations.
Our little debate questions.
The topic of delivery apps has been brought up as of recently. You know, we'd be using them a lot more. Because, I don't know, we're in 2024, people don't really want to move anywhere as much as they do now, and they've increased in popularity, but sometimes they're not worth it.
Okay.
Like, sometimes they're not worth it. That's what I have to say.
Compared to a lot of other people that I know, I have barely ever used delivery apps. The closest thing I usually was is, like, ordering a pizza, but I don't really count that. But I have used Skip and Uber a few times, and I just didn't think it was worth it, personally. Like, they, how do I say? The fees extra just doesn't seem worth it when you could just transit out there or have, like, a nice walk over to the restaurant or something. That, and most of the time, I don't know if this was just, I had always had bad drivers, but they were, because I'm a high school student. I'm broke. I couldn't afford a tip. I tried. I left like a dollar or something if I can, but I can't really afford it. And they would shame you for the tips. Mm-hmm. I would be shamed every single time for tips, which makes me want to take away the tip, honestly. But can't really do that. So that's why I'm kind of against it. But the one good thing about it is that you can make infinite accounts to get the free shipping on your first order. And that I would exploit.
In like the three times of Easter delivery app, they have all been on different accounts. To get that discount. What do you guys think? Aiden, Evan, Aster.
I mean, I got Amazon Prime, so I got a free, like...
You're getting food off of Amazon Prime?
No.
You order on Amazon,
you get the Jeff Bezos burger?
Like, you know, like, Amazon, they have everything. Like,
yeah.
On Amazon.
They have non-perishables, but they don't really have, like, groceries.
Chicken nuggets.
No. I'm saying with the Amazon Prime subscription, I got a Dash...
Oh, DoorDash.
Dash Pass, whatever, right? 6 months, it's still expensive. Like, I'm still getting fees, like delivery fees, like $4. Actually, it gets rid of the delivery fees, but they add extra fees.
Right. Like, yeah, it's they.
Chicago.
I was hearing about that. Yeah, it's like this little scandal that they have right now is that their premium isn't actually a premium because they have even more hidden fees with your premium.
And the fees don't even go to the drivers. Like, I want to support the drivers, but the tips aren't even going to them.
Yeah. Oh, also, a life hack for actual Uber drivers, this is what I would do. A lot of the time, they will, because you say you're paying $20 for the ride, they're making like $6 maximum off that ride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What you could do, most of the time drivers are chill with this, is say, hey, do you want to just cancel the ride? I'll pay you the full $20 here. Or you can negotiate a better price like just that, so they'll get more money, you'll pay a little bit less, and everyone's a bit more happy. That's what I've done a few times. Usually you have to have cash, though, but I mean, I'd say it's a fair trade-off, and it's
solid.
I was wrong. I said the tips don't go to the drivers. Mm-hmm. The tips do go to the drivers, but the fees don't.
Oh, and that's majority of the money.
Exactly. Like, why am I paying a premium, but it's not really helping
anybody?
Premium,
yeah.
That's true. Aster, what do you think about this?
I've never really had to use a delivery service to get food. I think I agree with Sean in the sense that I would rather go get food myself and make it like a little like
adventure.
Like a little adventure.
Exactly.
A little stroll.
A nice walk. Even transiting is fun every now and again.
It is. Yeah. I think we also like, I don't know, in my house we make food. That sounded really snarky.
Yeah, we
I got what you mean. No, I got you. Make food when you can.
We make food when we can. I like to say I know my way around the kitchen pretty well. So I can typically just, there's something I have an appetite for. In terms of delivery services, I can see the appeal. If you're just like out of it and you don't wanna, and you, I feel like having it be a little more sparse in the amount of times that you order it makes it a little more worth it. Where it's like, ooh, a little treat, someone brings me my food.
100%.
I feel like if I did it every day, and if I just like had the money to throw away on just like a
deliveries,
then.
That's too much money.
That's too much money, and I feel bad, like environmentally,
using so much gas to get my French fries.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel worth
it. My $2 French fries.
Yeah, it's like I have potatoes in my kitchen. I have lettuce there too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents on that.
Going back to the thing of saying when you have it too much, it's not even like. Like, it, that reminds me, when I was at work, one of my first times, first year at P&E, I got the employee discount. And one of my favorite burgers at the time was the Triple O Double Double Burger. That was just my jam.
Mm-hmm.
I had it every day for work for basically 2 weeks straight.
Damn.
At the end, I just hated that burger, and I kind of low-key hate it now a little bit, too. Like, I don't fully hate it. I'm back on, like, kind of liking it, but I can't have it more than, like, once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's
I think for delivery, I'm very lucky since I live very close to like lots of different food, fast food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I'm really craving delivery, I just walk out to McDonald's and bust up like 2 sausage egg McMuffins.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And a hash brown.
At what time of day?
Oh, this can be any time.
That's wrong.
The one I'm next to, I live near Burquillum, right? And that one has 24/7 breakfast, right? So I'm always in there. 2 hash browns, 1 for the McMuffin, 1 by itself, you know.
That's a little bit crazy.
It's a little gluttonous, but yeah, I don't need the delivery.
There's a lot worse things he could be ordering at McDonald's, to give him some credit, though. There are a lot worse things.
Example.
Like, have you seen the Big Mac David? That new hockey thing?
Why are they just naming them after more people?
Okay, so
Malcolm David.
Introducing Gareth.
No, they're doing that for the Four Nation playoffs coming up.
I don't know.
So Sweden, Finland, USA, and Canada are all going head to head.
I love the Beatles.
So we have.
Yeah. Wait, so you prefer the sausage egg McMuffin over the bacon?
Yes, I do.
Because I feel like
this is the death of a friendship.
The reason behind this is between the bacon and the sausage, right? With the bacon, you're not getting, it's very thin pieces of meat. Right, with the sausage, there's more volume.
Yeah.
Right, I'm being dead serious, too.
Yeah.
Like, I would genuinely prefer the flavor of a breakfast sausage over bacon.
I like, in general, overall, I do like bacon, but sausages, like, I don't know, they're just, like, you can just...
But
it's just there. It's like it just feels nicer.
Yeah, and, like,
Until you realize how they're made, and then you kind of
like all those.
But until that point,
Like, yeah, I'm aware.
Bacon.
Like, a big, like... Big juicy sausage.
No, like for what's it called? Fast food bacon is like it's underwhelming.
Yeah,
like it's either undercooked or it's just not there. They put like one little strip
like
in it.
I don't like it crispy. I really like it like
no.
The point where it's like cooked but like kind of like raw-ish. You
yeah,
know
no,
what I
people
mean?
People
like,
shouldn't like crispy bacon.
My mom, no offense, mom, I know you're listening, but I swear to God, you make it burnt as hell. Like I can't have that.
Wow. Okay.
Declaration on air.
See, on air.
I'm sorry, Mom.
See, I'm aware our co-host Evan's familiar with thick meat, but could you explain to me why you prefer bacon over sausage?
I've never had it.
Fast food specifically?
I've never had a McMuffin before. I have like a at home.
Oh, you have one of the maker things?
I wanted those when I was little.
You put the egg on one level, the English muffin on another level, and
English
then they
muffin.
Pull out the trays, and then they all...
Exactly, and it falls together. It's perfect.
It's the best invention ever, exactly. I swear to God. It changed my life.
Mm-hmm. I have one of the circle eggs in my house, but it's a Hello Kitty, and it's fire.
Yeah, but I'm not really a specialist like that. I usually like to have turkey bacon on the side.
Turkey bacon is good.
I prefer turkey bacon over regular because it's like less fatty and it's like less salty.
I believe
it also is just genuinely pretty good bacon. Like, whenever I've had turkey bacon, I've enjoyed it. It doesn't taste like regular bacon, but it does taste like turkey. A good bacon, and it's good. I like turkey. I only have turkey, I swear to God, I only have turkey like Thanksgiving and Christmas, so
yeah.
It's kind of like a nice little treat.
Well, you know who else likes turkey? Snow Allegra, which is our next artist that we are playing up on CJSF.
Masterful
segue. We have, thank you.
Smooth transition to outro.
Thank you. This is CJSF, and this is Snow Allegra with We Don't Have to Talk About It.
You say you really want to see me. You're only 2 miles away. All I see is FaceTime ringing. Guess you don't got time today. That's okay, that's cool. We don't have to talk about it. No, we don't have to talk about it. You said we in it for the long haul. I didn't even get to you, home. I didn't even get that far. We didn't even get that far, but we don't have to talk about it. No, no, we don't have to talk about it. I can see your best, like the sun in the rain on a cloudy day. Say you ain't wanna, so you just run away. So how am I supposed to take it? Guess you ain't got much to say. That's okay, that's cool. We don't have to talk about it. No, we don't have to talk about it. You said we in it for the long haul. I didn't even get to you. We didn't even get that far, but we don't have to talk about it. No, no, we don't have to talk about it. Hey. I can see your best, like the sun in the rain on a cloudy day. Talk about it. Say, hey.
That was We Don't Have to Talk About It by Snow Allegra. Next up we have is Low Season 1 by Bruno Pernada.
Why it has to be so sad? Will it be this bad to be on my own? Driving my car and let you go. I wanna know, let you go. Silver stars will show me the way to go. I wanna know. This season, how could I let you go? Finding mellow.
Meltdown, a show that brings you melody-driven heavy metal from around the world. Melting your ears every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
It is the not middle of the hour, but 20 minutes into the hour, which means, as promised, we have our interview with our guest speaker. Guest speaker, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Aster. I use he and pronouns. I got another show on Thursdays called The Sprouts, 2 p.m.
Woo.
And I'm here to talk about improv.
Woo! So for the people who don't know what improv is, can you do like a quick little explanation of like what it is?
In its most basic form, improv is a form of drama that is completely unscripted and made up on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most like textbook definition of it. When it's said like that, it sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
It also sounds like kind of boring. And I promise you it's not.
No, I've seen some of it in action, and we can promise to the audio listener it is not. All right. And you do improv, obviously. That's why you're on the show, because you are an improv expert. What made you want to start improv? Like, what piqued your interest about it?
I actually started doing improv at a summer camp that my mom told me about.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of forgot about it when she set me up. It's called Improv Camp. Registration just opened. If you're 13 to 19, something mm-hmm. along those lines, I think. Go join improv camp. Go register. It's really fun. But it was just like a sleepaway camp, and you learn improv. And I really enjoyed it, and I think I fell in love, and I think it was awesome. Very fulfilling stuff. It was really... It's a very collaborative form of art. So it... It's very fulfilling in that sense.
That sounds very lovely. Do you think like experience and like improvisation is a useful skill for people to have like in day-to-day life?
There's actually when our drama teacher at the school, she's been trying to get our improv class to run for I want to say since 2018.
Oh dang.
At an open house night, she put up a sign that says, "Ask me how Improv 12 can get your child into business school."
Hmm.
It gives you confidence skills, all the classic, drama teacher things
mm-hmm.
That unfortunately need to be said in order to justify an education in art, which is an education that is valid in and of itself. But it boosts your confidence. It teaches you how to make connections really quickly. I'd argue it teaches you how to be funnier. It made me funnier, I'd like to say, or at least I find myself more funny, if that's worth
laugh
anything.
Laugh at more of my own jokes after doing improv.
Hey, the only person you need to have like your jokes is yourself. At the end of the day, if other people like it, they're good.
That's
they
true.
Don't, as long as you like it.
That's what Benjamin Button said.
Yep.
That's true.
Sorry to interrupt.
I think a really important thing in improv, just something that I think about a lot, is how... you actually shouldn't try to be funny in improv. The way that the improv scenes typically tend to go is you're telling a story. You're in a scene. You are doing the whole plot mountain thing. You've got a relationship, characters, a setting. Problem arises. Typically, the problem gets worse. There's a resolution, and then the scene ends.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to stay faithful to that interpretation of the scene. Like a story would, and treat it with dignity.
Yeah.
So the humor actually comes in with the spontaneous creation of these ideas that make no sense. I'm in drama leadership at my high school, and I help the grade eights run, and we're doing an improv workshop. Someone came up with a tornado that flew out of a folder. So what's funny about that isn't the fact that it's a tornado that flew out of a folder. That is an idea, that is a concept, that is two disparate things put together. What makes that thing funny is how serious the characters take it.
Mm.
It's kind of like an acting rule in general, right? It makes you better at acting too, where you take it seriously, you take the comedy seriously, you play it straight. If the audience knows that you're trying to make them laugh, they won't. Jokes are transactional. They are, I say this thing, and you laugh. Improv is meant to just to kind of bring down the fourth wall and invite the audience in, because you're telling a story. That's what stories do. It's our oldest, it's one of our oldest forms of communication, right? So you invite them in, and suddenly they're wrapped up in this reality that you're building. Even and if you do it right, then they get carried away, no matter how wild or ridiculous the things you're throwing at them is, and they laugh with you. So I think that's one of the big misconceptions about improv, is that it's like stand-up comedy, when it's not.
Very different arts.
Yes.
That was very, very, very well put.
Wait, I have one question. This is actually, it's more like, it's very broad, right? Do you think people can be born funny?
I think. Yes.
Yeah.
Not my interview. Continue.
I think that there are definite I don't know if there are people that are born funny. I think there are people that are, that have people skills, that are more in tune with connecting with people.
And just timing in general, because that's a big part of comedy.
Yeah, you're right. Timing too. But more, I'd argue that the times that you've met a stranger that's made you laugh has been kind of just because they treat you like a friend would. The time that you've laughed the most hasn't been when you're watching a stand-up set. It's been when you've been with your friends and you've already been thinking. You're just saying things and you're making each other laugh because you're just connecting in that way. I think that I'd argue that, or you could argue at least, I don't know if I would argue it because I'm kind of thinking by the seat of my pants here. You could argue that the funniest people are just the people that are best with people. The people that are comfortable treating strangers kind of like friends in that sense. Or they see strangers as possible friends. So I think that's what makes a person funny. And, you know, yes.
So, like, Evan, that's actually a very good point. So do you think you were born funny?
Evan?
Yeah.
No. Evan's interview now.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. But is there any way to, like, tell if you were born funny? Because I can take one look at Evan. I think he was born funny.
That's a crazy thing to say about somebody. Yeah, you look like you was born with jokes, huh?
You were born and I just knew that guy was going to be a prankster.
I mean, it takes somebody to know somebody, you know what I'm saying? I'm born funny.
Fellow joker to joker.
I think it's like not everyone's going to find you funny. The way that not everyone's going to like you.
Oh, so they'll find it funny.
It's about chemistry more than anything else, right? Some people can just have chemistry with groups of people. Yeah. I think the quote, what makes improv powerful, okay, so if a stand-up comedian manages to generate chemistry with an audience, improv is about generating chemistry with your ensemble and inviting the audience into that. The audience, they want to be a part of that. They do. Right? So then they get invested. That's what I mean by breaking down the fourth wall. Really, my issue with a lot of popular, like, Marvel movie kind of, like, media